I have a portion of scripture that's found in the book of Revelation, the second chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. Jesus talking to the, sending a message to the Thyatira church. And to that Thyatira church, he wound up by saying, if you will overcome, I will give you power over the nations, and you'll rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give unto him the morning star. That's in the 28th verse of the second chapter of the book of Revelation. Jesus says to the church, I will not only, if you overcome, not only make you rulers over the nations and you'll rule them with a rod of iron, but he said, he that overcometh will I give unto him the morning star. We know that the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. There's signs, and there are, it's figurative. We find there's a lot of words where seven is mentioned. He describes the Antichrist as a beast, as with great iron teeth, and seven heads and ten horns, which is just a normal man. But in this particular thing, he says, if you overcome, I'm going to give you the morning star. Now that means something. If I'm opening up here at the platform, I have a Christmas tree and a big bunch of packages, and everybody's listening for your name, and I'll look and say, here's one, J.W. Williams. And you are J.W. Williams, and I open it up to see what J.W. Williams have, and I open them up and give each package to them. You are very anxious to know what you have as going to be a gift to you. Well, what I'm saying tonight is for every Christian that's ever been in the church, every Christian that's ever been washed in the blood of Christ, that was ready for heaven when they died, this promise is to them. There's not one left out. He says, I will give unto him. Now, if you notice, all seven churches has promises given to them. But I'm just taking the one here that mentions this particular thing. I'm dealing with the morning star. He says, but to him that overcometh will I give unto him the morning star. Now, we do immediately recognize what the morning star is. The morning star is a great planet that comes up every morning just a little bit before the sun. But it happens to come up right at the blackest, the darkest time of night. And while you're in still total darkness, there's no ray of the sun has tipped the horizon yet. The morning star peeps over the horizon to let you know that the day is on its way. Now that's called the morning star. Well, now we know that God is not going to give us some planet, and he's not talking about that star there. This is symbolic. It has a beautiful meaning to it. Let's turn over somewhere else in Revelation and try to find a star, and let's try to run it down and see what we find about it. Let's go over to the book of Revelation. I just read out of the book of Revelation. But let's go to the last chapter, the 22nd chapter. And here, beginning at the 16th verse, Revelation 22:16. Jesus says, I've sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And then Jesus said, I am the root, and I am the offspring of David, and I am the bright and the morning star. So we've already found out, we don't have to go any further, who the morning star is. He says, I am that bright and the morning star. In the second chapter, he says to every child of God that's made a dedication to him and that's born again, he says, if you come in and are born again and serve me, he says, and you overcome, and that means you're capable of making heaven, I will give unto him the morning star. That morning star is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, with that in mind, let's see something else that might go along with it. We turn over here 713 years before Jesus arrived on the scene in the days of Isaiah. And we have a very interesting article here in the 11th verse of the 21st chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 21 and 11. The burden of Duma, he calleth out of Seir, and he crieth and saith, Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman on the tower, which is his position, he goes up in the tower, and it's his duty to look down because the tower's very high. There's a wall around the city. But they depend upon that watchman that's put there. And this is a biblical fact that tells all about it. That he will hold the blood of the people at the hands of the watchman. If he sees the sword coming, the enemy, and the watchman just goes ahead and goes to sleep on the job and enemy comes in and destroys the people, they'll die in their sins, and they'll die, but I'm going to require the blood of all those people at the watchman. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming, and he sounds the alarm, and he tells them that the night is coming, or the enemy is approaching, then from the tower, they immediately begin to get all their men of war ready. They come up, and they're prepared to meet the army that's coming. So any city had their watchtower. They had their watchman that stood on watch, and he would walk his beat at night. And so here comes a fellow out of the night, and he cries to him, and he says, Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman cried back. And this is what I'm going to preach or bring just a few little points on real quickly, is what the watchman said back to the man that called and asked him the question. Now, this fellow that was inquiring, he didn't say one word about the day. He didn't say one word about the morning. He was concerned about the night. He was concerned about the darkness. He was concerned about the things that could be accomplished, the things that could occur while it was dark. Not the daytime, but he said, I want to know about the night. He didn't say, Watchman, tell me about the night and the day. He said, Watchman, what of the night? Because he was concerned about the night. But the watchman answered him and said, the night cometh, but also the morning. The night is coming, and it has arrived, but also the morning. This is highly prophetical. The world today is right now caught in the grip of what I am bringing to you. God over the country has set certain men. He said to Ezekiel, son of man, whenever they build a city, they put a tower and they put a watchman up there. And that watchman is responsible for the souls of the people. Ezekiel, I have set thee as a watchman on the wall, And I am going to warn you of oncoming judgments that will come upon the people. If you warn them and they take warning, they will save themselves and you will be saved. But if I warn you and you fail to warn them of the judgment that's coming, then they shall die in their iniquity and their blood will be required at your hand because you did not warn them. But if I warn you and you warn the people and they do not take heed, they shall perish and die in their sin and in their affliction, and their blood will not be required of thee. I will spare thee. As God has set Ezekiel as a watchman upon the wall, God has set down through the ages untold prophets that have looked down the telescope of time and have told us of a certain time called the end time, a time of the day of the Lord that would approach. And he said, when you see that day approaching, he said, children, I want you to gather together and come together and exhort one another, and more so as you see the day approaching. Why? Because God said, I have given my prophets vision after vision. They have given you the description of the end time. And now as they preach that time and you see these things coming to pass, you know that day is approaching. The prophet said the day of the Lord, the end time, is not a day of brightness. It's a day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of thick darkness. It's a day of distress where mighty men shall cry bitterly. We have had many recessions. We've had many ups and downs like the stock market. When the earth was in some very peculiar situations, but there was always hope that it's going to come out of it and bring itself on out and kind of heal up again. The First World War, when we signed the peace treaty, we were able to come out of it. Our boys come back. You remember the old-fashioned songs we had right after the First World War? Now, there was a healing over. We kind of come out of the great strain. Then there was a Second World War. There has been many ups and downs in the past. But boy, let me tell you, sister, let me tell you, brother, let me tell you, that as God describes the thing, when it begins to arrive, then one thing after the other shall be accomplished, and it's not going to get any brighter. There is no, they passed the line of no return. We cannot say that we looking forward until Jesus comes and puts his feet on this earth. We cannot say that we're looking for a time when the streets again will be safe and the robbers and the thieves will be converted. They will somehow have a fear. They will stay in their place and our husbands and wives can go to and fro. Our children can feel free again to walk the streets. I'm sorry, that is not in the book. It's not in the reading. It is going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Our children that are faced the conditions in the school today, such things that would make your blood run cold, selling dope. They're making dope addicts and dope pushers out of the little boys and girls today that are still in their teens, right here in our city. All over our city, the schools are full of it. Do I have to tell you tonight that we can look forward? Maybe some great president will come. He will pass some laws. He will put teeth in the law. And our laws will be respected. And the murder will stop. The thieving will stop. And somehow the filthiness on the television and the radio and the insulting God will stop. And the nudity and the whorehouses that are wide open to your sons today, they will be closed. And the public places of all this jazz, rock music, it's going to soon blow over. There'll be a revival. The schools will get better. Brother, it's not in the book. There is a night on us, and it's coming, brother. And as we look at the black, the darkness of it,
on that we see now, that in the east is where God has always said, there's where the blood's gonna flow. But a few years ago, as I was pastoring the Gospel Lighthouse, standing behind the pulpit in the Gospel Lighthouse, there was no east, and there was no Israelite for them to come after, because there wasn't an Israelite nowhere to be found. They wasn't there. But while I pastored at the Gospel Lighthouse, Israel has gone back. They have grown until they're a great and mighty and a powerful nation. But God's book tells us your trouble is coming out of the east, and the valley of Jehoshaphat, right out of Jerusalem, right from the King David Hotel. There is where the kings of the nations will come. The king of the north will come down to take a prey from Israel. But then there was no Israel. But as I have preached the gospel, there is an Israel today, and our problem today, and that's seething. And all of the Arab nations are at war among themselves in their spirits. But God said there's going to go out of the mouth of the beast, dragon, and false prophet demon spirits. And these demon spirits are going to go out into the kings and the rulers of the whole earth. And as these demon spirits enter into the kings of the earth, it will put something in them to go to war. And he said they will draw them and bring them to the great day of God Almighty, to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And it said, I will bring the unclean spirits will enter into them, and he will gather them to the winepress of God, where he will not tread out grapes, but he will take the men of the earth, the kings, the captains, and the soldiers of every nation. He will bring them. This is found in your Bible. Read it when you go home, in the 14th chapter, the 16th chapter, where he gathers them together into the wine press of God. And Jesus comes down and treads the wine press, and blood flows out of the wine press. It's not from grapes, but it's from the blood of human beings. The blood flows out up to the horse's bridle. That's right around the corner. The stage is set now. Just in your papers yesterday was an astonishing statement that we have locked arms again with Red China. We have turned aside from the one who has been the head of it, a God-fearing person. We just turned, instead of turning to the one that's protecting our missionaries in that other Rhodesia, we have turned and locked arms and said that we want to, the rebels or those that are killing by the hundreds missionaries, and those things are happening. There's problems and troubles. Right now, there's a seething. And you come to our country, they're wondering what the dollar's going to do tomorrow. That's not a bright day. I remember year after year, month after month, year after year, you never wondered what the dollar would do. But brother, we're wondering today what the dollar is going to do. And today, not just the ordinary man that owns a store, but the people that are in the head, from the head office, they're wondering what the stock market is going to do. They're wondering whether we shall have a recession. He said we can spell it out. It could very easily be a depression. He said you begin to talk it, and the first thing you know, there'll be a run as there was back there when all the banks were run on and people lost everything they had. Doctors and lawyers digging in the street. You wouldn't believe it had happened, but overnight it did happen. Brother, we've got to cars. Anywhere you go, you get up and you can see thousands upon thousands of parked cars. The highways are so full they can't go fast. They're going inching bumper to bumper. And this earth is filled with automobiles. When there comes a shutoff in the east, and we don't get the oil that we need. And there's a panic. People can't go to work. And then when things begin to go from bad to worse, you begin to have rebellion in our own country. I'm not worrying near as much about Russia's missiles that are able to come over here and destroy us, because we've got missiles that blow up too. But I'll tell you the thing I'm worrying about. It's the bombs that are going out off in our own coast, and we are killing our own selves. There is the economy as it sits now. It has every thinking man, every man of money, every man of any size material. He is sitting today and he's shaking. He is wondering just how it will go. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. When I look at every facet, you'll say, but Brother Hibbert, one thing, bright thing, is in this hour of darkness, when men's hearts will cry bitterly, it's a day of darkness and thick darkness. While we're in this, the church is all prayed up, fasting and praying, and souls are being saved, and there's an old-fashioned revival, and the church has separated herself from the world, and thank God they gather in. They don't allow the things of the world to creep in. I'd love to say that, but God said when that end time comes, we're the salt of the earth, and when the salt loses its saltness, it's fit for nothing. When I can see the churches today, I had a man just Friday tell me, he said, Brother Hibbert, and I knew he was a member of one of our denominational churches. He said to me, Brother Hibbert, he's a pastor for many years. He was up a man, I suppose, in his 50s or 60s. He said to me, Brother Hibbert, he said, I want to say this. He said, I fear for my organization. He knew I knew what organization he belonged to. He said, oh, Brother Hibbert, I know something about your people. I know something about your church. Oh, if we had the touch, if we had the warmth, if we had that something that I feel. Oh, but he said, I look at our organization. And he said, I'm telling you, I am greatly alarmed. I'm wondering what I can do. He said, I'd like to step out. I'd like to get away from it. He said, I've never seen it so cold and callous as it is today. And I happen to know that he's telling the truth. Then he went on to say, he said, Brother Hibbert, it is amazing. It is astonishing for us to examine the ones that are being turned out of our seminaries today, how far they have been trained from the old landmarks when I came in years ago. They've done away with all the power. They've done away with anything with blood in it, and they've done away with the song books that had anything about the blood. They've done completely away with the miraculous virgin birth. And the blood of Jesus Christ means no more than a stuck hole. And the blood of Jesus Christ means nothing, because it was just the blood of a human being. He died. He was the Son of God, they'll say. But yet they'll turn around and deny his miracles, deny his promise to the church. But they will do away with the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm amazed and astonished when I see what's coming out of our seminaries today. Where are our churches today? This morning as I spoke, I wonder how many of members of churches supposed to be saying to the world, look at me, I'm going to heaven. But yet, instead of being in the house of God, they could be at a bleacher watching a football game. You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with the ball game. Their appetite is what I find a lot of fault with. Their appetite. God said in the end time they'd be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'd be denying the power. God said, from such, turn away. How many of our denominational churches over the country today, you go into them like an iceberg? You don't see the sinners screaming, coming down to the altar, and there members coming from both sides, full of the Holy Ghost and with a zeal in their heart, kneel by them and raise their hand and lay their hand upon them and be able in a few minutes to pray them through to real experience. They're setting back cold and callous. If they ever had any fire, it's lukewarm now. If they had their first love, it's faded out. They've lost it. I'm not saying totally everyone. There is a nucleus here and there. But when I am greatly alarmed at our own people and the spirit of indifference that we feel settling down, and people tell me what it feels like to come here, I say, my God, what is happening in the world? And when we see everything, you say, Brother Abraham, aren't you getting a little rough? Look here, I haven't even started waiting yet. I could go out in waters that I could dive in. It'll shock your modesty if I open up and told you what's happening in Dallas, Texas. This place is infested with demon worship right here in our city. It's filled with witchcraft and teachers in the school teaching your children witchcraft, and they themselves are witches. The boy went into a restaurant, just a restroom. He came out, he was ruined for life, took a pocket knife and castrated him. And the mother found him screaming. When right here in our own shades, the shadows of Dallas, right here in Dallas, several grown people being found guilty, if this is being done here in our own city, it's being done all over the city. Bringing children, not only one or two or three, but dozens of them. Brainwashing them, putting threats on them, taking their little bodies and stripping them naked. Taking pictures of them and putting them in papers and putting them on our newsstand. You can go down right here in the newsstands tomorrow, walk up and pick the things up, and you can see children being spread open with adults using them right on the shelves of buildings right here, newsstands. It's not under the cover. It's the great big newsstands with all kind of books in it, and you'll find there those things on the shelf. Let me ask you, where are we going? That was the time that womanhood was respected and we looked up to it. A woman was a queen. You'd never think of seeing a woman with a cigarette in her hand. Women smoke more than men now. And the cause of deformities in birth, they say, is directly because of cigarette nicotine that the mother uses. But in spite of that, they are giving birth to them all over our nation. One of the girls that is raised up in our church got on the habit. And when she had that baby girl, if ever I saw an angel from heaven, and many said it looked more like an angel than anything they'd ever seen. That baby was born, and that doctor with tears, he said, it's a perfect child, born dead. It couldn't stand the blast of nicotine when it entered into the world. That mother was a chain smoker. I've talked to her several times about giving up the habit. And the doctor said there's no reason why that child shouldn't have lived. Just a few days later, there was a baby brought into the world screaming bloody murder. Screaming one breath after the other. And the doctor said to the mother, are you a chain smoker? She said, yes, sir, doc, I am. Said, I thought so. The doctors got together and they said, we'll have to take this child off of nicotine gradually. That child for 2 days and two nights had writhed and screamed because of the withdrawal of nicotine. And they touched that child's tongue with just, they knew how to do it, just a touch of nicotine. And that child stopped that quick.
and began to relax and went to sleep. When it got up and that wore off, it started screaming again, and they little by little, after weeks of time, they got that child broke from cigarette nicotine. Brother, this society has crossed its line of demarcation. There is no, you say, Brother Edward, you've drawn a dark picture. I've just told you the one side. Watchman, what of the night? He said the night is coming, but boy, there's a day that's coming too. And Jesus said, when things are dark, when they're writhing on the street and jerking purses, when they're getting naked and having their juju bop and all that kind of stuff, when your schools are going down, when your police force is failing. The other day, one of our brothers standing looking at me right now, he had made some tremendous big sales. He had a billfold in his pocket. He went two blocks down the street, walked, got something to eat, and he came out. And when he did, two boys plunged in, knocked him, and the other fellows with him knocked them both down, and just that quick grabbed his purse. He had several hundred dollars in it. And he grabbed his purse real quick and tore out and run. As they was running, police car came by. He yelled, "Those boys robbed me. I'm going to go get them. Come on, follow me." They said, "Oh, you can't." And they didn't follow. But they went on down. They kept running. Finally got away from them. They kept on looking. There's another lady in a car kept trying to. So they got out and finally found the boy hiding. And knew that was the one who had his purse. He tore it after him, found him, caught both boys. Held them down, got the police there. They put them in the car and carried them down that afternoon. And they got down there and paid the lawyer. He said, "I'm going to charge you so much, so many hundred dollars." And the next morning, they was out on the street because they have to make some more money now, not only for their fix. You see, they have to have a fix in arms, so that's the way they do it, knocking people down and getting the purse. But now they got to pay the lawyer. So what did they do? They turned them loose, put them back on the street to knock your mother down, to knock your daughter down. Who benefited? The police? No. The police labored and worked and used this gas to run them down or help run them down. And, well, they didn't help run those down. But finally, when the citizens run them down and then call the police and they carried them down to the Hoots gal and signed statements against them, filed charges, then the lawyers came in, sticks the hundreds of dollars in their pocket to pay for their automobile and to smoke their cigars, turn them loose on the street to do the same thing. The police is not benefited. Citizens are not benefited. And the men that's doing it are not benefited. The lawyers are benefited. And that's all. Would we take a mad dog that's biting children one after the other and we finally get him, bring him down, and when they bring him down, they'll say, "You'll have to give the lawyer here $200 and he's going to turn that mad dog loose." And the public would say, "That's the day you do it." And I'm going to tell you, those men on the street that'll knock you in the head, and many times they kill them, and they'll do anything. That type of people that's out there with a fix, they'll do anything for that fix. And when you turn them loose on society, it's just like turning a mad dog loose on your children. Is there any hope for it getting better? I'm going to tell you, brother, from the Supreme Court, they've made some decisions that's not going to back up. The Senate, the congressman. As we look at the next president that goes in, I don't care who under heaven he is, it's not going to change. There is one thing that's going to change. God said to his church and to his people, "I'm going to give you something that's worth more than the world. I am going to give you Jesus Christ in your soul." And when I give you Jesus Christ, you may not see the day, and the sun is not shining because the darkness is around about you, but that bright and shining and glistening morning star comes up and said, "Hold on, kids, just a little longer. The sun is coming up,
and we're going to have a day, and brother, the greatest day that ever dawned is right around the corner, and the only hope for anybody, the man on the street today, is without light. His light is going out. His lamp is burning out. We are walking in days of shadows. The shadow of murder and crime is casting its shadows across our path. The shadows of immorality are flooding our pathways with darkness. The shadows of uncertainties, the shadows of fear. Am I telling the truth? Jesus said, when you see all these things, lift your head. There's no good outlook, but look your head up and lift your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. We have Christ. I see the thing around about us. I'm not expecting it to back up and it get better, but I'm seeing that morning star. I'm seeing the morning star. It's telling me, Brother Hibbard, if you'll keep your eye on me, I'm telling you it won't be long until it will all be over. When you see these things, bow your head in a word of prayer.
But seeing that these things shall surely, surely, surely come to pass, then it behooves thee to search thine own soul and to make sure that thy heart is right with the Lord thy Maker. Ye that are to be the lights shining in dark places, has thy light gone out? Ye that are the salt of the earth, have you lost your saltness? Ye that are supposed to be the example, thou that sayest to another, thou shalt not steal, dost thou commit sacrilege? Then look at thine own life and look at thine own heart, and then give thyself to the Lord thy Maker in earnest, sincere, prevailing, agonizing prayer for these things that thou dost see round about, knowing that these things are and shall continue to grow, and darkness shall cover the land and gross darkness the people. See that you be not troubled, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of thy faith, because he who hath promised will be faithful to keep thee in the time of trouble and in the time of test. Only alert thyself to the day and the hour in which thou art living, and be not slothful, and be not sleepy, but arouse thyself and shake thyself, because these things are and shall be even worse in the light of my coming until I return.
That was Jesus. He said, I am in your midst, beholding your order. Looks like he heard everything I said. And when I got through, he just picked up the microphone in heaven and just spoke directly to your souls and gave the altar call. He said, search in the light of what has been brought tonight, and it shall get worse. He said, search thine own soul. Search out thine own soul before God.
God's talking. And you know what? If there wasn't people here tonight that needs to search out your own soul, he'd have never said that. But he drew the picture. He told us exactly, in a nutshell, what I have told you tonight. He said these things, God sees a lot more than we see. He knows the coming is even at the door. How many here tonight? You cannot say for sure that you know you're a child of God, that you're serving God with all your heart. If the trumpet had blown tonight, you're not sure you're ready to go. But God spoke directly to you and he says, be not slothful, but be vigilant. Do something about it. There's a lot of people going to wake up too late. But how many tonight, as the Holy Spirit is moving up in this crowd, how many will say, Brother Hibbard, I'm not serving God. I want to be a Christian and I want to be ready to go when Jesus comes. I want you to pray for me because I am not serving God. I'm not serving God. And I'm not letting the world know I'm a Christian. I'm not sold out to God, and that's the only thing you've got to be. God won't have a thing the world do with you till you sell out. And brother, you'd better sell out, because it'll cost you through eternity in the lake of fire 100 billion years, and brother, you won't want to stay there 5 minutes. You'll never get a drink of water throughout eternity, and you'll go to that kind of a hell. Through fingers of God, God's done everything he can to salvage you. Procrastination is the thief of time. Now, you can put off a lot of people, but don't put off God. God's talking to your heart. Bow your head in a word of prayer with me. Father, you spoke. Not only did I bring a message, but you sanctioned it. And I pray now to give grace to individuals in this building to take stock in their own heart, to be honest with themselves. Some are church members just like a person believes in Buddha. They just go to the temple and they're just a member. But they don't have no experience. People go to churches, believe in Jesus just like they believe in Buddha. But oh God, that's not enough. They've got to be born again. And if they're not born again, they'll go to hell. And now the door's open. The Spirit is moving. The light going dim in your soul. You could be among the dead before tomorrow morning. I said you could be among the dead before tomorrow morning. If you're not ready for heaven right now, the most foolish thing you ever did in your life is to sit there and do nothing about it. How many in the balcony will say, Brother Hibbert, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I want you to pray for me. I want to be ready to go. What you said is true tonight, and I want to have the hope. That morning star is Jesus Christ. You can have him, but you can't have him in the world too. You've got to choose him. How many will raise your hand up there and say, Brother Hibbert, pray for me. I'm not ready for heaven. Would you put your hand up? Every person in the balcony, you're ready for heaven. You know you're ready for heaven. By God's grace, you've been saved and born again, baptized in water. You believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. You're ready for heaven. Stand to your feet. If you're a Christian, stand to your feet. Those that were slow in getting up and you looked both ways before you got up, you need to come to the altar. You need to come to the altar. When you're ready, you don't have to open your eyes. You can spring to your feet. Why? You're ready for heaven. There are people in that balcony, if your heart would stop beating now, you'd go to hell. You say, are you judging? No, I'm merely going by what I always go by. The Holy Spirit. God cannot control your will. He never has or never will. You will control it yourself. You'll choose Christ or you'll reject him. There are individuals here tonight. You say, well, I don't want other people to know where I'm at. They already know. If you're not serving God like you ought to, they know you're not where you should be. The most honorable thing you can ever do for yourself in Jesus Christ is to step down those steps, come to the front here, and have us pray for you. How many in this lower floor? You're not serving God. You're not a Christian like you should be. And you need to make a stand for God tonight. Could I see your hand? Put your hand up. All right. I want to put it this way. How many believe tonight that the Lord Jesus that just spoke, he's listening to every word I said? Not only was he listening, but he was looking at everybody while he was listening to me. And he knows everybody's heart. He knows whether you've got a sin there that hasn't been forgiven. And if you've got a sin there that hasn't been forgiven, brother, you're not ready for heaven. When you let sin stay in your life, you're a sinner. You need to get sin out of your life. Get the fire of God. Walk in the Spirit. And right now, as the Holy Spirit moved, and as I came to the close, and the Holy Spirit moved, and Jesus just picked up and he spoke directly from heaven like he said he would do. How many believe he's waiting now for your respond? Because he knows your need. And how many believe that Jesus knows every person that ought to step forward and come to the front and say, Lord, I'm not winning souls like I should. I'm not praying. I'm not interceding. He just said in that message that we should cry out. We should cry out in intercessory prayer for this condition that's around about us. Our children in schools and all the conditions. We're the salt. But we're not. If we don't watch, we'll lose our saltness. Right now, the Lord knows you need to come or you don't. You're all right, 100%. If you feel that the Lord knows as much about you as you know, and he knows a lot more about you than you do, but he has a will, he'd like for you to come and say, Brother Hibbert, I want to make a dedication. I haven't been walking in all the light that God has shed in my path. I want more of God's grace and power tonight. I want you to come forward. And the Lord is watching every heart. God gave this altar call just now. I want you to move out of that balcony. There's some in that balcony that need to come. There's individuals in that balcony that need to come. And then I'd like to say this. We have been praying every morning for God to send the kind of revival Dallas needs. The only way he can send it is in the hearts of individuals. How many tonight, you cannot say that you have the revival that you feel God wants you to have, but you want to present yourself before the Lord tonight and ask God to give you the kind of revival. It only comes in the heart. That's the only kind of revival that there is. No preacher brings a revival. He merely comes. You have to respond, and the revival comes in the heart. How many in the balcony up there will say, Brother Hibbert, I don't have the revival in my heart that this city needs, and I'd like to come tonight and present myself. There are children out there that are waiting your decision. Your decision might be the salvation of some soul. God's talking to people. When the sun of your life has gone down, and the clouds in the west turn to gold, endless night, then to you would have come. If the light has gone out in your soul, listen, I'm asking you, has the light begin to go out? Is it burning bright? I want you to come. I feel there's someone here that hasn't moved yet. God's talking to. I feel that the Lord could say to you, dear, I feel that there's something you need me to do for you. You say, are you trying to
persuade people all within my power. But if you come just because of that, you might as well stay back. You've got to come 100% because you know Brother Hibbert's telling you the God's truth, and it's not going to be no time until you'll scream as you never screamed before. I'm a fool of fools. I have made my own destruction. God will send you to hell as quick as a marten ever went to its gourd if you don't line up. I said God will send you to hell just as quick. And don't forget, there's only one place you go. If you're not in heaven, you'll go in the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire where they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's not happy. You'll never get a drink of water. That rich man in hell cried out and said, send me, Lazarus, even a drop of water to touch my tongue. He didn't get one. That is back 1900 years ago. He's been in hellfire 1900 years and he's never got a drop of water. And I got news for you. There's several billion years ahead of him and he'll suffer every day of it. Why? Because he did exactly what you're doing. You are neglecting your soul. And that's what he did. He didn't rob a bank. He was a prominent rich man, looked up to and respected, but forgot God and went to hell. If anybody has the interpretation, give it. That is a message. But I don't know what God was saying. But I'm wondering if we had got the message, if we would have responded. Right now, your heart is beating. Are you right where God would have you to be? I have felt, I'm not saying this to everybody, I just go by my inner feelings. I just go by my inner feelings. It's not to be barely a Christian going to heaven. God needs warriors. How many believe it? I preached a message last Sunday morning on being hot or get cold. But when you're in the middle, God will vomit you out. His house is packed out. Had that congregation responded to that message as God would have had to them to respond, this place would have not only been filled with that same crowd, but they would have gone out and brought a bunch of their unsaved, backslidden loved ones in and tried their best to pray them through. How many believe that? You know, I love you with all my heart. I'd be a dirty, stinking, low-down dog if I didn't unload my soul when God put something on my heart. I don't care how much God loves you, he'll send you to hell if you don't line up, if you don't get a revival in your heart, if you don't pray and carry the load. You can get rich and money in your pocket and just coast along and be a church member, but God help you, don't do it. Be on fire for God. I want to see every Sunday those baptistry open up and folk being baptized. I want to see young people pray through. How many believe the Holy Ghost can come on us if we'll mean business, if we'll raise our hand and pray? I want those that didn't need to come. They're all right. They're on fire for God. I want you to move out. Come up here behind these others. Would you do that? Others there, you didn't specially need to come, but I want you to come, those that will. I'm taking for granted that. But if you're a child of God, I need your help. I want you to step forward. And we're going to pray. We're going to raise our hand. How many want to see God send a revival in your heart? If it's not there, send it there right now. He doesn't want to wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Some soul may go to hell if you wait. Put your hand up and say, God, stir my heart right now. And mean it. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Open your heart to God. Pray right out. Oh, Jesus, have your way tonight, Lord. Have your way tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My God, undertake. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, undertake. Let the Holy Spirit move tonight. Cry out to God. Open your soul to God. Yes, Lord.